Welcome in. In this lesson, we're building parallel drum crunch from scratch in Ableton Live, specifically for drum and bass or jungle, and specifically with DJ-friendly control. The whole idea is simple and powerful. You keep your main drums clean and punchy, and you blend in a heavily processed duplicate underneath. That duplicate is where we do the bad behavior on purpose. EV compression, saturation, tone shaping. Because it's parallel, your transients can stay sharp on the clean bus, while the crushed layer fills in the gaps and makes everything feel louder and denser in a club. By the end, you'll have a setup where you can ride one fader or one send and get more energy on demand for builds, drops, fills, and double drops without wrecking your kick and without turning your hats into sandpaper. All right, let's set the stage. First, session prep. Put your tempo somewhere in the classic roller zone, like 172 to 176 BPM. I'll use 174. Now grab a basic drum foundation. You can do this with one shots, a break, or both. You want a punchy short kick, a snare with some body around the low mids and a crisp top, some hats and shakers, and optionally a break layer like Amen or Think sitting lower in the mix for vibe. Quick workflow tip, select all your drum tracks and group them. Command or Control G, name that group drums. This group is your clean foundation. Think of it as what I would happily export for a DJ tool even without any extra sauce. Now we're going to create the parallel path. Create a return track. In Ableton that's create, insert return track, rename it a crunch. Before you press play, pull that return fader all the way down to minus infinity, just to start safe. Then on your drums group, bring up send a little bit. A great starting point is around minus 18 dB. And here's a very DNB specific routing mentality. You usually don't want your kick feeding this crunch very much, if at all, because that's where low-end clarity gets destroyed. You often want more snare and break into the crunch, because that's what benefits most from grit and density. Hats can be moderate, to add fizz, but we'll keep an eye on harshness. So if you want extra control, don't just send the whole group. You can send individual tracks, snare a bit more, break a bit more, hats moderate, kick low or none. That single decision right there solves half the why did my drop get smaller problems people run into. Cool. Now let's build the crunch chain on the return using only stock Ableton devices, in a very intentional order. On return a crunch, first add EQ8. This is your pre-filter. The goal is to remove sub and low bass so the crunch doesn't smear your low end. Turn on a high pass filter, 24 dB per octave, and set it somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz. If your kick is huge, go higher. If your drums are thin, go a little lower. Don't overthink it. Just get the thump out of the crunch path. Optional moves here. If the crunch ends up harsh later, you can preempt it by adding a small bell dip around 3 to 6 kHz, like minus 2 to minus 4 dB with a medium hue. Or, if your snare needs more bite, a gentle boost around 1.5 to 2.5 kHz, like plus 1 to plus 3 dB. Important concept. Doing EQ first means you're deciding what the compressor and saturator will react to. If you leave subs in, the compressor will clamp on the low end and everything gets weird. So we filter first. Next device, glue compressor. This is the slam. This is what creates that pinned, consistent, dense parallel layer. Start with an attack of 1 millisecond if you want a safer option. If you want it more aggressive, try 0.3 milliseconds. Release on auto is fine, or set it manually around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Set ratio to 4:1 for a solid start. If you want nastier, more obvious crunch, push it to 10:1. Now pull the threshold down until you're seeing big gain reduction on hits. In parallel, big numbers are normal. Aim for 10 to 20 dB of gain reduction when the snare hits. Make up gain off. We're going to level match later. And yes, you can turn on soft clip in the glue compressor. It's a nice safety net and it adds a bit of bite. Next device, saturator. This is harmonics and thickness. This is the part that helps your drums read on smaller speakers and cut through bass. Choose a mode like analog clip or soft sign. Drive somewhere between plus 4 and plus 10 dB. Turn soft clip on. Then bring the output down so the return doesn't suddenly jump in volume just because you added drive. Optional. Turn on collar and set it around 1.5 to 3 kHz if you want extra presence. If you do this, listen to your hats carefully, because collar in that range can get spicy fast. Next device, drum bus. This is Ableton's instant DNB density box if you use it tastefully. It can add smack, body, and a controlled crunch character. Start with drive around 5 to 20%, crunch around 10 to 35%. Keep boom off at first. Boom can mess with your kick and bass relationship, and the entire point of this lesson is DJ friendly, stable low end, damp somewhere around 10 to 30% to tame harshness, and use trim to keep headroom. Next, add another EQ 8 after drum bus. This is your cleanup EQ. Even if you high passed earlier, do it again. Distortion can generate low end junk and resonances, so high pass again around 150 Hz, sometimes even higher. If it's getting fizzy, add a low pass around 10 to 14 kHz. If it sounds boxy, dip 250 to 400 Hz by a couple dB. Now last device, utility. This is where you gain stage and make it club safe. Set the returns level, so it peaks roughly around minus 12 to minus 6 dB on its own. And set width carefully. My suggestion for clubs, start narrow. Try width at 0 to 50% first. If it still collapses nicely in mono and feels good, you can widen to 80 or 120, but keep checking. Crunch and stereo can get facey, and in a club, mono compatibility matters more than wide in headphones. Now we blend. Press play on your main drum loop. Put the return fader at 0 dB, unity, and do your blending with the sende amount. That's a very DJ-friendly approach because your return stays stable and you treat the send like an energy knob. Start with sende around minus 18 dB. Then slowly bring it toward minus 12, then maybe minus 10. What you're listening for is not louder. You're listening for thicker, more forward, more glued. Your kick transient should still feel clean and punchy. Your snare should feel like it has more crack and more tail density. Breaks should gain texture, not turn into white noise. Here's a key coach rule. Level match the return. If you toggle the return's device chain on and off and it just sounds louder, you're cheating yourself. Turn the utility down. When it's right, it feels bigger at basically the same perceived loudness. That's the magic of parallel done properly. Now a couple performance-oriented options to make this even more DJ-friendly. Option 1. Pre-fader sends. If you right-click the send knob in Ableton, you can set it to pre-fader. This is super useful if you want ghost drum moments where you pull the clean drum fader down during a transition but the crunch return is still getting fed. Or the opposite. Keep clean present while pulling crunch away for contrast. It gives you that performance mixer feel inside the set. Another practical check, latency and flamming. If you add heavy oversampling or look ahead devices later, you can sometimes get a tiny timing shift between the clean and crunch, and it feels like a flam, like two hits slightly apart. With the stock chain, you're usually safe. But if anything feels smeared, temporarily remove oversampling settings or heavy latency devices and recheck. Tightness matters a lot at 174. Now, optional but recommended. If you want everything controlled from one place, build this as an audio effect rack on the drums group instead of using a return. Add an audio effect rack to the drums group. Create two chains, clean and crunch. Put the entire crunch chain on the crunch chain. Then map the chain volumes to a macro called Crunch Blend. Now you can automate one macro for builds and drops, and it feels super intentional and consistent across the arrangement. Speaking of arrangement, parallel crunch isn't just a mix trick. In drum and bass, it's an energy lane. Try this. In the intro, keep crunch low, just a hint of texture. During the build, slowly raise crunch, especially on breaks and hats. On the drop, push it up another 1 to 3 dB for perceived loudness. Then in the second 16 bars, pull it back slightly so the drop breathes and you create movement. For fills, spike the crunch for the last beat or even the last half beat. That quick jab feels like impact without rewriting the drums. A super practical automation move is to automate the drums group, send A up by 3 to 6 dB in the last two beats before the drop, then settle it back right after. That gives you tension and release with basically one line of automation. Now let's troubleshoot the common beginner problems before they happen. If your low end starts to sound smeared or the kick loses authority, you're feeding too much low end into the crunch. High pass higher, 120 to 200 Hz, sometimes even 250 Hz depending on the material, and reduce the kick send. If you keep thinking more is better, you'll overdo it. Remember, the goal is texture and density, not just volume. Level match with utility. If your kick transient gets smeared, either reduce kick send, or increase glue attack to 1 to 3 milliseconds so a bit more transient slips through before the compressor clamps. If hats turn into sandpaper, low pass the return around 10 to 12 kHz, reduce saturator drive, and use drum bus damp. Damp is your friend. If the stereo gets weird, narrow the return. Again, clubs punish phase problems. Now let's do a quick mini practice, 10 to 15 minutes. Make a 2-bar roller at 174, kick on 1 and then end of 2, snare on 2 and 4, hats in 8th notes, with a few shuffled ghost hats, and a brake loop low in the mix. On me turn a crunch, set EQ high pass at 158C, glue compressor at 4:1, attack 1 ms, release auto, about 12 dB of gain reduction on hits. Saturator drive plus 6, soft clip on, drum bus crunch 20%, drive 10%. Now try 3 blends, send at minus 18, subtle, minus 12, club ray, minus 6, probably too much. If it's too much, don't panic. Fix it like a pro. Shave highs with a low pass, tip harshness, reduce saturator drive first, and then recheck. Then export a quick 16-bar drum-only loop for DJing. First 8 bars cleaner, second 8 bars with more crunch. That's a perfect tool for transitions because it gives the next DJ, or you in the next mix, a built-in energy lift. If you want to go one step deeper, here are a few variations you can try once the basic setup works. Frequency split crunch. On the crunch return, make an audio effect rack with a mid-crunch chain and a top-crunch chain. Mid-chain high pass around 180 to 250 and low pass around 10 to 12k. Top-chain high pass around 2 to 4k and low pass around 12 to 16k. Drive the mid harder than the top. This gives you record-like density without hats turning into static. Transient-friendly snap crunch. Try drum bus first with light settings, then glue, then saturator. Sometimes shaping the hit before heavy compression keeps more snap. Kick protect sidechain, add a regular compressor at the end of the crunch return, sidechain it to the kick track, fast attack, medium release, aim for 2 to 6 dB of ducking on kick hits. This lets you send snares and breaks aggressively but keeps the kick punch clear. Tape bus style for liquid, go gentler, less gain reduction, softer saturation, and a gentle low pass around 12 to 14k. You get cohesion and sheen rather than violence. Finally, a homework challenge to lock this in. Make a 16-bar drum tool with two clearly usable DJ states. Clean cut and crunch lift. Matched loudness. Bars 1 to 8, subtle crunch. Bars 9 to 16, plus 3 to plus 6 dB more crunch, via send automation or return automation. This audio version is shortened for playback.